Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of the Divine Downloads podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Overton, and I am delighted today to have a beautiful nurse on the show, Lane Therrell. This is going to be a really juicy conversation, excuse me, because Lane is a board-certified family nurse practitioner with a passion for integrative health, energy medicine, wellness coaching, patient education, and writing. She currently leads the clinical team for a small telehealth startup company. She has worked in primary care clinics and continues in continuous care residential facilities and has served as an adjunct instructor in the nurse practitioner program at a nationally accredited nursing school. She is a certified healing touch practitioner. Lane completed integral coach training with Wisdom of the Whole Coaching Academy and is a certified conversational intelligence coach. She lives with her husband in Northern California, and when she's not working in one of her numerous nursing roles, she's doing something creative or spending time in nature. Miss Lane, welcome to the show, young lady.
It's so great to be here.
Okay, so like I said in your bio, you're in California, and we were just talking about this before the show that it's so cool how spirit works and how people's paths cross, not by any type of accident. And Lane and I think we met at one of the NNBA conferences, which is the National Nurses and Business Association conference, a couple years ago.
Yes, NNBA is one of the greatest organizations ever. I really, really, really benefit from being part of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. I just adore the NNBA and all the members. It's an amazing organization. So I'm just so excited to share the airwaves with you because I feel like we have very similar values, and you are definitely well-versed in so many different areas. So of course we would love to hear from you, Lane, as much or as little of your nursing journey, kind of how you got here. And then we're going to really dive deep into this, a little bit of spirit, a little bit of tech and all the things. So can you share with us a little bit of your journey?
Yes. So I'm one of those nurses who was not always a nurse. I came into it later in life as a second career. Before I got into nursing, I was had a successful 20-year career in agricultural public relations, of all things. So helping people understand where their food comes from is a big part of my past, and I still bring that forward in the work I do today with the patient education. But I became a nurse practitioner because I already had a master's degree from another area of inquiry, and so I needed to be working at the master's degree or above when I began my nurses training. And so I just kind of got into it almost by accident. Didn't really know what a nurse practitioner was, didn't really know what I would end up doing. But that also has been part of the fun of the journey as well, because I feel like I'm discovering every single day, you know, what kind of nurse I want to be. So it's really been great.
Okay, so incredible. So agricultural public relations, did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Whoa. So of course I don't consider the fact that I have a green thumb. However, my mom is a master gardener, and she taught me the importance of specifically recycling and being a good steward of the earth. And I just know for me, when I'm digging in the dirt, my soul is as happy as can be. So it's so interesting that you went from agricultural public relations to nursing. Was there an experience or something that sort of pulled you in, or was it to nursing?
Well, you know, it's really interesting that you ask that. And before I tell my story of what led me to nursing, it's so interesting that you talk about when you touch the earth, when you have your hands in the dirt, right? And so one of my favorite little poetic quotes goes something like this, and I'm probably going to butcher it here on the show, but who plants a seed beneath the sod and waits to see, believes in God. So that's always been one of my favorite little quotable quotes. And this connection to the earth that you're speaking of, I think, is a big part of what we'll talk about later when we talk about, you know, connection to spirit and connection to technology and how they're allies for each other. But as far as me getting into nursing and making that transition, I had gotten to a point where my background, my education, and my skill set really wasn't able to keep pace with what was happening on the internet. So this is all linked to technology, right? So the skills and the work that I had always done in agricultural public relations was very much one-on-one, low-tech, you know, the most technologically oriented it got was teaching farmers how to use the internet when the internet was new. And so when social media hit and it became the thing, it really felt like, okay, now's an opportunity for me to get into something different and help people in a different way. And if I was going to go back to school at this point, what would I study? And when I started asking that question, nursing bubbled up as a great opportunity because I had a background in animal science. So there was this, you know, science foundation. And it turned out that a lot of the prereqs that I needed for nursing school were able to be grandfathered in by that bachelor's degree in animal science that I had from North Carolina State long ago. So okay, I don't know if that answered your question.
It totally does. And I don't know why Fred Rogers is coming up. Anyway, because it's like you're a woman before your time. Like you... You were seeing the writing on the wall. You knew that you had to do something so that you could keep up. And wow, that's pretty amazing that you had that insight. And so I am a total tech nerd. Like I love how I love innovation. I love tech. I love I feel like, you know, there are plenty of people out there who feel like, you know, social media, wah-wah, it's like, it's toxic, whatever. Well, not the people that I'm looking at or, you know, hanging out with. So when you can combine something like tech that's, you know, very fast paced and fast moving and also bridge it with healing and even spirituality, like, hello, I think what an incredible merging of the world. So let's talk about, you know, where is the place, or is there a place, Lane, for tech innovation and spirit? Like, how does this all like jive and gel and all that?
Well, I think what you're getting at is this big need that we have in our society that almost goes unrecognized. And I just want to also add so that our listeners are clear, the grand irony here for me in being in this tech world and having a tech conversation with you publicly to share is grand irony because I am not a tech nerd. And it was just this really interesting sort of divinely guided occurrence that happened that I ended up working for a tech company and doing telehealth. And that happened last year. And it's really an interesting thing. So I see technology as a tool, and it's a tool to be managed and used for our human purposes. And so where things start to gel is this sort of unspoken divide that we've created in our society where there's science on one side and there's spirituality on the other side. And there's just sort of this given understanding that they are polar opposites somehow. And I don't agree with that. I don't see that these two things are polar opposites. I see them as part of the same thing, which is our existence on planet Earth, you know, at this time in history, right? And so at this time in history, technology happens to be a really useful tool for us to connect with each other and for us to connect with whatever we'd like to connect with. At the same time, the nature of that technology also creates divisions and separations. So in some ways, when we're using things like, our cameras on our phones, in the moment of being there at the celebration to record it or to take pictures of it, in a way that separates us from being in that moment, right? So there's these little ironies all sprinkled out through the whole mix. But I think what really stands out for me and what makes this a topic that I like to dive into at the level that we're able to dive into it today on your show is that they are not really this opposite thing. And it's been a pattern for me in my life where I've always had sort of these two things that most people think are opposites, but I don't see them that way. And they come together for me in really interesting ways. The one big example is my education, my undergraduate education before nursing. So I attended North Carolina State University. So big shout out to the Wolfpack and all of my North Carolina friends. But there's a scholarship there, I think that it's still going actually, called the Thomas Jefferson Scholarship, where people who receive it have to agree as freshmen coming in to double major in an area of science and an area of humanities. And so, and that's what I did. So I received that scholarship, way back when. I won't tell you when, because it was a long time ago, back in the late 80s. But it really showed me that these two areas of inquiry that society has set up, they feed each other and they create synergy with each other, and they're more complete with each other than without each other. And so most college students, when they're planning their future, they'll decide, do I want a science and technology, a STEM type of career or curriculum of education, or do I want a more liberal arts, humanities based type of education? And I feel like that at the fundamental level is sort of where we maybe get it wrong, or sort of get off track or get out of alignment might be a better way to say it, with our education and with our training of our young ones, because you really can't have productive, positive, progressive science without the humanities, and you really can't have positive, progressive, productive humanities studies without an understanding of science and where that gets you as a method of inquiry. And so, I really resonate with something I read in a gift shop back in the day, and you can find it on the internet, Mohandas Gandhi, back in the early part of the 20th century, was talking about the seven social sins, and one of those is science without humanity. And so for me, I was doing this combining and this integration of science and humanities all along from the starting point of my academic education. And I feel like that is something that all of us could benefit from, to look at science and humanities not as different and distinct areas of academic inquiry that we can't, we have to choose one. When we choose one, we give up the other. And instead of looking at it like that, look at it as, hey, these two things feed each other. These two things make each other better and keep us on the right track as human beings. And so let's see how the sciences help the humanities, and let's see how the humanities can help the sciences. And then all of a sudden we get into this wonderful, beautiful gray area and interesting fringy borders where we can ask some really cool questions, and that to me is where human beings can start to really flourish and become what they're meant to become.
Ooh, girl, when you were talking about the science and the humanities and the synergy that it creates, I was getting those, I call them angel bumps, where I think that's, to me, that's just a sign of resonance when I get goosebumps, angel bumps. And I love what you're saying, because I think you're so right, Lane, that we do a disservice when it's like we silo the education, science and humanities. It's like, why can't And I love that you're talking about this fringy gray area, because what I know to be true now, I'll be 48 on Sunday, and that is that life is so much more gray than it's black and white, and you can be totally geeked out in the science, and you can also have space for spirit or spirituality or whatever you want to label it as. It doesn't have to be this like this or that.
Yes, I love what you're saying about it. It doesn't have to be one way or the other. These things are not mutually exclusive. And it's really interesting to me that we're talking about how technology deals with all this. So as an outside observer of social media, you know, I do have a social media account, do use them as tools for business, but they're not my idea of a good time. And so I don't go there to play. I don't go there to socialize. And it's really interesting to watch and to observe how it has changed the way people communicate when they communicate via Twitter or they communicate via Facebook. These tools, while they are so useful and so wonderful in so many ways, connect us. They also create limits or artificial boundaries around what we share, how we share it, and the reality that we create, really, with this. And so it's just super amazing to me to sort of see this and to see that there's almost like a lack of self-awareness that people have when they use these tools. You know, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing to our ability to relate to each other when we say it in, you know, 140 characters or less, or whatever the character limit is? I think it changes all the time on Twitter, but it's very fascinating to see this. And you know, we had a similar situation in human history with, you know, printing presses, when printing presses started to be able to take the written word and make it more accessible to the population. And so our social media platforms have created a similar revolution. And because we're in it, you know, we're in it in real time, having watched it develop over the last, you know, couple decades, that we're almost unaware of what it's doing and how it's changed the way we communicate.
I love what you're saying. I mean, especially the vantage point of the reality that these platforms are creating for us. And we can tend to have this lack of awareness, self-awareness. I think it's kind of like hiding behind, you know, the screen, or it's like, it's almost like people become anonymous, although not really. I think it's an easy way to hide. Anyway, I really appreciate what you're saying. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, where is your idea of, like, I want to hear your input about this idea of healing versus curing.
Yes. Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak about this, because this is something that is really near and dear to my heart. Because again, you know, I feel like in my, throughout my whole life, you know, the academic world, and then in this nursing journey that also began, you know, about 10 years ago for me, that I feel like I walk with a foot in two different worlds, right? A foot in each world. And that makes it a little bit challenging sometimes. You know, every once in a while you find yourself in a place of having to defend your belief system or your method or your choices, or even your clinical judgment sometimes in the nursing world. And so that has become something that is very interesting to me. And, you know, again, using the technology tools that we have to market ourselves as entrepreneurs or whatever we're doing, it's always been interesting to me when people have advised me and said, be careful how you use the word heal, that, you know, the word healing can be controversial. And To be honest, Lisbeth, that just offends me a little bit because I feel like part of the reason I became a nurse was to help people heal themselves. Like, it's this idea that how can that word be controversial? How can that word be in any way wrong or bad or not acceptable on the internet? And so when you look at it and you sort of dive deeply into it, like I like to do since I am at the core an academic, I can't help myself. But when you look at it, medicine and nursing really don't have operational definitions or an operational definition that is universally accepted in medicine or in nursing. And so looking back at the literature, I think there's a paper from 2005 where the attempt was made to create or at least start a conversation around creating an operational definition for medicine to adopt and use for the term healing. And it's a lovely paper. Agnew, I believe, is the author. And he sets forth this idea that it's the transcendence of suffering. And I love that. And I feel like there's a little bit more to it, at least in my personal definition of what healing is, that I see healing as a process. It's a dynamic thing. It's not something like a destination where you actually get to, which, you know, a cure would be. Like if a disease is cured, it's cured. You know, an antibiotic kills the microorganism and then you're cured, right? So healing is a little bit more complex, a little bit more nuanced. It's a process. It's deeply personal in its process, right? Because healing can be different things to different people, depending on what their needs are, depending on what they are, the outcomes that they desire. And beyond that, it's, you know, it gets you to this place of transition or transcendence of suffering. And I guess, you know, it's interesting that word transition came because in this process of healing, you are transitioning, you know, from level to level to level and layer to layer of sort of self-discovery, self-exploration, all the different things that basically bring your body back into balance. Because the reason you are seeking healing in the first place is because your body somehow got out of balance, and all the systems that sort of drive your body and connect your body with your mind and your spirit, those things are out of balance, which is why you intuitively know that you need or are seeking healing. And so this process that brings about the balance that results in the transcendence of suffering, that's what healing is. And I can't think of anything more wonderful on the planet to be part of than that. And that's really, you know, I didn't have the words for it 10 years ago when I was applying to, well, actually it's more than 10 years ago now, it's more like 12, when I was applying to nursing school for the first time. But I can't think of anything more magic than being part of that process of healing. And so for healing to be a controversial term, for healing to be something that is somehow diametrically opposed to curing or somehow not compatible with curing, or that we can only talk about curing, that just seems really wrongheaded and limited. It's a limited way of thinking that really, you know, sort of puts medicine in its own little box and puts nursing in its own little box. And so I say fooey on that. I'm going to talk about healing all day long because that's what I am, is a nurse healer.
I love this on so many levels. Okay, Agnew, the paper from 2005, that healing is the transcendence of suffering. Oh, can I get an amen? Yes. Like, oh, okay. So yes, healing is deeply personal. It's this place of transition from one layer to the next, self-discovery. And I believe that healing, it's like wealth or abundance. It's not something you get or acquire. It's something you attune to. It's a frequency.
Yes, that is well said. It is a frequency. And that, makes me want to talk about, if you'll let me, what inspired me to become a certified healing touch practitioner. So the frequency, you know, everything's a frequency. We are frequencies. You know, the bandwidth that carries our voices to our listeners right now is a frequency. Like, everything is a frequency. And healing and our process that we engage in for healing is no different. And so, and even our experience of suffering, our experience of illness is also heavily involved with frequencies. And so this is that wonderful fringy gray area that we were talking about earlier, that, you know, they kind of hit around the edges of it in our physiology textbooks, but they never really go there. And, you know, it was interesting to me because I had learned Reiki before I went to nursing school. And then when I was doing my, you know, human anatomy and human physiology prereqs to get into nursing school, I had all those things for farm animals, but I didn't have those things for human beings. So, but it was amazing to me that they leave out the most important anatomical system, which is our energy system. They just leave that part out. And, you know, so you learn in your, you know, traditional Western medicine, traditional nursing textbooks now these days, that you have 11 systems in your body that, you know, work together to make you and form your, all your things, that then we learn how they can go wrong and how to treat those. But there's this other system that is completely unacknowledged, and that's our energy system. And, you know, traditional cultures throughout the world have referred to the parts of that system in different ways. The terms we are still using to talk about that is, you know, auras and chakras and meridians and those lovely words that then also come out to be controversial. I'm going to use air quotes around the word controversial, because they're not documented in our Western literature. And I just find that amazing that, you know, here we know that human beings have a biofield. They have electromagnetic impulses. This is how our heart beats. This is how our muscles fire. This is how the piezoelectric effect allows us to lay down bone. You know, it's we are electrical, we are electromagnetic. We have these capacities in the human body, and science acknowledges that. And yet we leave out the energy system as part of our anatomy and physiology educational background. What is up with that? You know, just because, yeah, I don't know. I just, I don't even know what else to say, because I could go off on that for hours, but it just amazes me. And I got fascinated with it for myself. And I was like, well, Reiki is this really neat thing, and it's related to all these wonderful, you know, mechanisms that the human body has about how our heart beats and how our muscles work and how our nerves send signals. And let's look at that more closely, and let's see what other techniques there are. Lo and behold, discovered healing touch. And healing touch is such a wonderful practice because it's recognized. You know, the same credentialing body that credentials me as a board certified nurse practitioner credentials the Healing Touch program. And so there's a, you know, literature evidence base that underlies it. There's a charting mechanism that goes along with it, and it really does create these wonderful healing spaces for patients or clients, however you happen to do. There's not a billing code for Healing Touch yet. Someday I pray that there will be. But, you know, this lovely practice that is energy medicine and that is based on this sort of secret human anatomy and physiology system that goes unstudied and unexamined by the academic structure that we now have. But when we can tap into that, and when we can learn some techniques to work with that, we can create these truly healing spaces for our patients.
I couldn't agree more. And thank goodness there there is the opportunity, right, in the nursing space for learning things like healing touch and energy modalities, even though it's not, you know, taught per se. And wouldn't it be interesting how different life would be for all humans if the academia was structured very differently? But that's a whole nother episode.
Yes, it is.
And I believe personally that any type of health crisis is a spiritual crisis. Like, there's no accident. And so it's like, and I'm a yoga teacher. It's like, it's a way for the human vessel to realize that there's a little more to your being than the things that you can physically touch and see. So that's a whole nother show. So thank you for that awesome deep dive into the academia, because that stuff gets my goat, but I don't want to expend any energy there because I think we have more wisdom to share. Let's talk about, Lane, what do nurses need to know about technology that they don't know right now?
What do they need to know about technology? I am so glad you asked me that question, and I just kind of got the angel bumps myself right now, because I believe what nurses need to know about technology is that their voices need to be heard more in the space of nursing technology and medical technology and healthcare technology. So what I'm talking about is that, you know, when we go to nursing school, we learn about professionalism and we learn about nurses' voices and we learn about how nursing became a profession and all that stuff. And that is the principles of that and the spirit of that is applicable now as technology starts to really change the way healthcare is being delivered, the way healthcare is being structured. And what I'm able to see, and again, I've worked now in a telehealth company for a little over a year, and what I'm seeing in that space is that the conversations that are happening are largely happening with physicians' voices and with tech developers' voices. And that if we are going to sort of shape the way that technology can really help people heal, I'm gonna use that word, because this is what nurses do. Nurses ultimately are trained, you know, the doctors are trained to fix the problem and the nurses are trained to assess the patient's response to the problem, which ultimately speaks to everything we just went into about healing and what healing does. It's the process, right? The nurses are perfectly positioned in their training and in their philosophy of training and in the nature of the work that they do to really weigh in and have an effect on how technology is used as a tool, and I'm saying used as a tool, not taking over people's jobs, not replacing roles, not, you know, doing all these things that people tend to get in fear about around technology in healthcare, but really weigh in and help the physicians understand, look, this is how technology can help us better assess the patient's response to fix that you set up, right? This is how we need to also educate the tech developers that, look, this is what a nurse does, and this is what a nurse does versus, or not even versus, but in addition to and in collaboration with what the physician does. Because you know, you turn the engineers and the software developers loose on a pile of data, which is what the nursing informatics world is all about. And they can run numbers and crunch numbers and create models and create, you know, AI structures all day long. But if they don't have the clinical guidance, and if they don't have the clinical guidance that is including a nurse's voice, then I think that we are going to end up with some tools that are not going to serve us the way we'd like to be served ultimately in healthcare.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I'm sitting here, like, I'm getting dizzy. I'm shaking my head so hard over here. I think I have the belief that nurses can write, or you can write your ticket. Like, how creative do you want to be, and how vocal do you want to be? And I feel like, I mean, I said this when I used to work in the cath lab. It was actually the circuitry side. It was the electrophysiology lab. And whenever I was the circulating nurse and I was documenting, it's like, dude, we need a spot here for this. We need a spot here for this. And I always say, of course a nurse created this, or of course a nurse designed this app, because who better than a nurse who sees through the lens that we see through all the stages of care and what the person needs. And so to me, it's a huge, huge opportunity. It's just bringing the nurses to the spaces, the places, and having the courage, you know, to speak up. So I can't wait for you to share a little bit about the company that you work for, work with. And thank you for speaking to that specifically about, you know, a lot of the physicians are kind of running circles around these things. To me, the analogy is the first hospital I worked for, they did a questionnaire, of course, and the main complaint was patients wanted private rooms. And so what did they do? They built this huge tower, all these private rooms, gorgeous for the patients. However, the rooms were so far apart, if a patient crashed or coded, you almost needed a moving sidewalk or roller skates to be able to get to the rooms, you know, on time. And it's like, they need to get the people doing the work to weigh in on the design of anything as it relates to healthcare. Yeah. Okay. I could go on and on. I won't. Okay. So tell me a little bit about why is it so valuable that we bring this holism, or that nursing and healthcare is inherently holistic?
Well, I'm really glad that you asked that, because, you know, it's funny that we even have asked that as a question, right? Because nursing is holistic. Like, think about all the things that you learn in your nursing 101, your first nursing school class. You're learning about the environment that the patient's in. You're learning about all the factors that influence the patient's response to the treatment. You're always looking at things from a systems perspective. You know, you can't do nursing right, I don't feel like, without having a holistic view. And you may not call it a holistic view. Your instructors may not have used that word, but nursing, I believe, is inherently holistic. It has to be. Otherwise, you can't monitor or assess your patient's response to the treatment properly. You just can't. And then if you look at the history of nursing, I mean, look at Florence Nightingale and all the things that we know about what she did. You know, walking into those spaces and opening the windows as a first resort, right, to help the patients that she was treating. It's just amazing to me that we lose that somehow in our effort to gather data or process data or measure things or whatever we're doing. We get so caught up in those details that we forget why we're doing it, and we forget what benefit is coming to the patient because of what we're doing. But I feel like nursing and holistic are, you know, right there together, holding hands synergistically, in the background in every textbook, whether it specifically states that or not. Don't know if that answered your question.
It does. And what's coming up for me, I'm not at the bedside anymore. I feel like a rebuttal, or like somebody might say, well, yeah, like totally holism, all that stuff. However, there are many things, duties, tasks, whatever you want to label it, them, that get in the way, that prevent, that, you know, it's like, Lord knows there's so much going on. Even before this whole pandemic hit, where nurses were completely fried, right? Burned out. There's too much to do. Forget treating a person as a whole person. It's like so much going on. So what would you say to a nurse that kind of has that vibe around, I don't have the bandwidth with what I'm given in my space to be able to treat? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I think what that pushback speaks to is sort of the environment that we've created in healthcare and healthcare delivery, because of this focus on, you know, siloed thinking and tasks and reductionist philosophy, right? Like it's a product of that. What the nurses are observing in that being burned out is a product of, you know, where the conversation started with the science on one side and spirituality on the other side, or humanities on the other side. But the solution to that, interestingly enough, I believe, can be some of this technology, right? So imagine, and this is part of what the company that I work for does, is to develop artificial intelligence or AI, you know, using deep learning, machine learning techniques to help automate some of these tasks and some of these, you know, routine things that nurses don't have time for and that lead to burnout, in order to free the nurse up to do the actual connection work that is part of that holistic piece that is missing in healthcare, to connect with the patient and to get to the bottom of and have a real conversation with the patient about what is it that's actually going on for the patient. You know, you gave an example earlier that really resonated with one of the first clinical experiences I had in nursing school as a nurse practitioner, where I was working at a women's health clinic, and the preceptor that I had knew that I liked to work with the complex chronic conditions patients that had, she called it, you know, the emotional component to their chronic condition. So she would turn me loose with those patients and just let me go in there and talk to them because she didn't want to. And so I'll never forget this patient who was just crying uncontrollably about some things that were going on in her family situation. And it just came right out of my mouth without, you know, completely unbidden, completely untrained. This is not what I learned in nursing school. But I just said, well, it sounds to me like you're having a spiritual crisis. And all of a sudden, the patient just popped right out of her tearful session. And she just looked at me and she said, you're right. And no medical provider, no nurse, no, my doctor's never said that to me before, but you're right. And she's like, now I wonder how I fix that. Oh, we had a conversation about that. And that was a seminal moment for me, Elizabeth. It really was, because it made me realize that if we can bring this idea of, you know, the whole person into our practice, that we can really make a difference for our patients.
Oh, yeah.
And so getting back to your original question about the pushback, well, when the nurses say they're burned out, and I'll say, yes, I know you're burned out. And if we can get our voices into this technological revolution that we are in the midst of right now, you know, we can set it up ideally so that our new technological tools allow us to have those meaningful conversations with those patients that can help make a difference.
I love that you shared that story. Basically, to me, that is the quintessential complete presence, right, of the human spirit. It's like you were with her and she was with you, and what needed to be said was said, and it was so healing for both of you, right? Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I want to round out this conversation. Tell us about this cool company that you're involved with, or that's, and what you're doing, and also how people can connect with you.
Great. Well, so this is great, because this really does bring things full circle. So I'll tell you about the company that I work for, and then I'll also tell you about the company that I have, which is the invitation that I'll give to people to connect with me through that one. So the company that I work for is interestingly enough, the name of the company is MyNurse.ai. And for anybody who may not be familiar with that URL extension, the .ai is artificial intelligence, right? So the idea behind what we are building in our company is that we do chronic care management and remote patient monitoring for Medicare recipients specifically. That's the main population that we're working with right now. And we have coaching conversations and wellness and lifestyle conversations with those patients based on the data that they send us, based on the comorbidities that they have, and the goals and the lifestyle changes that they would like to make. And so the AI or the deep learning, deep machine learning process is being applied to the notes and the records that we keep about which interventions are working the best for the different patients. And ultimately, what will happen is that when one of our wellness coaches, and so that's what we call our staff, that's what I am when I'm talking to our patients, is a wellness coach, that we will have tools that will come to us through those previous conversations and the analysis of that to help guide us and give us ideas about, well, with a patient in this type of situation with these types of comorbidities, you know, this is what's worked before for this patient. This is what's worked for situations like this in the past. Other patients have benefited. Here's a suggestion of some possible things to try or some things to educate the patient about. So that's the project that we're working on in that company. And, you know, it's revolutionary, and it speaks directly to, you know, what we were talking about before about nurses not having time to do those things that pretty much got them into wanting to be a nurse in the first place, was because they care about people. They want to interact with the people. And this tool, we feel like, you know, can set us in the right direction towards having more of that in the nursing world. And in the company that I have, I do one-on-one and group health coaching with patients, or not patients, when they work with me, their clients, because we're not billing to Medicare. We're working outside the healthcare structure to help people discover which complementary alternative techniques might be best for them, and to explore those and to work with those and track those and decide which things, you know, are going to help them so that they don't waste time, you know, out there exploring, you know, crystals and Reiki and singing bowls and, you know, whatever the tools are that may not work for them, but they may. And so we can help to focus their efforts and find those right tools. And my website is dailyinspiredhealth.com, and people can go there if they want to continue this conversation with me on the side, whether it's about technology or whether it's about what complementary alternative integrative technique might work best for them, and just use the contact form that you'll find there on the site and reach out, and I'd love to hear from you.
Okay, I just want to make sure I have the names right. It's mynurse.ai is one company.
That's correct.
Yes. Wow, I love all the awesome, like, what an incredible way to, you know, what's that saying? Kill two birds with one stone, even though I don't like kill animals. Anyway, it's like, you know, you're helping the nurses, you're helping the patient, and you're leveraging technology for best outcomes. Like, hello, hashtag genius. I love that. And I love what you're doing, helping folks figure out, you know, it's like the next layer, the next level of how can we heal the whole body, right? Mind, body, spirit, with these amazing other things, other modalities. So dailyinspiredhealth.com. Love that. Now, one final question. This, let me see what's coming up. In your experience, in your life experience, you know, the show is called Divine Downloads, and I'm coming back to this question for folks. Is, to me, a download is when you're in a receptive state, mind, body, spirit, where you receive the upload, the download, the wisdom, Lane, that it literally changes who you be. It changes how you show up in the world. And I feel like, you know, people have many of these. However, it's pretty transformational. Would you say that you've had one that you want to share with the audience?
So are you asking me if I've had a divine download that I would like to share?
Yes. I know you've had many because you're a very enlightened young lady.
Yes. Well, I think that around that, it would just have to be being aware of your connections to things bigger than yourself, and then being able to speak about that with an authentic voice. And so, you know, this is something that I had to learn on a personal healing journey, which, you know, I think we've come up with about 4 different podcasts that we could do together on different topics during this conversation, and that could be one of them. But I think this idea of being able to, you know, whether you're leveraging technology or whether you are deciding that the way you want to create the connection is to just separate from technology for a moment, you know, and unplug, but connect with things out there that are bigger than yourself. And then once that connection is established, bring that back into the messages that you deliver. And I think that that would be the download for your audience. There's this sort of two-step process to connect with the bigger than you and then share that authentically with the other people that you come into contact with. Was that what you were looking for?
That is just beautiful. Wow. So connect with that thing, that being, that something bigger than you, and then bring it back and integrate with it, and then be able to share that. Because I feel like due to fear, due to judgment, conditioning, all the things, people have these experiences that I would deem very spiritual. And they're afraid to share them. They're afraid to talk about them for fear of ridicule or whatever. And so this resonates with me on a very strong level. So
yes.
I love that. Well, thank you for sharing that download, Lane.
Great. Thank you for asking me to.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that's coming up for you that you want to share before we wrap this up with a bow today?
Well, I think just sort of bring it back around full circle in our conversation, you know, in light of the download that just came as well, that I believe that it's so important for nurses' voices to be heard at this time of technological revolution that we are experiencing. And, you know, it's going on around us. It's going on all around us. It's become, you know, a little bit more into the forefront right now because of the COVID situation and telehealth, you know, being the way that people are getting a lot of their more regular, usual medical attention. And I think that trend is going to continue even post-COVID. And so I think that nurses to really start to pay attention to, look, healthcare is changing, technology is changing it, and let's let our voices be heard. And I think that would be the big takeaway and the bow to leave with your audience today.
So apropos, I got more angel bumps. So thank you so much for your wisdom, your spirit, your vibes, your energy, Lane. This was a wonderful conversation, and I trust that if just one person takes a download away from this, then I feel like we did our job, hopefully more than one person. And so, of course, I want to thank you, Lane. And of course, I want to thank the listeners. This is this podcast idea I had, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. And it was actually the second channeled message that I got. It was, oh, hey, lady, you need to do a podcast of the same name as your Oracle deck. So here we are. I don't really know what I'm doing. I just like to talk to people. So thank you for sharing your wisdom with me and listeners. And remember, for the audience, if you feel like a fish out of water, if you feel like your back's against the wall, if you feel like you're not supported, that you don't matter, I am here to tell you, you totally matter. You are wise beyond your years. And just the way that you run a marathon is literally one step at a time. So just keep taking those baby steps and trust that you are supported. And eventually you will know, feel, trust, and believe that you are. And until the next show, I'm sending you so much love, and take good care of yourself. Bye-bye.